It is the Pastor's Heart and Dominic Steele, and the problem is much bigger than Sydney with David Rietveld. We start our fifth year together on the Pastor's Heart today, and we return to what is potentially the most pressing issue of the moment for Christian leaders, the massive drop in church attendance. We highlighted a few months ago here, and the graph is on the screen, the drop in attendance for Sydney Anglican churches in the last 10 years. Raj Gupta had first called it the plateau problem, but the data released at last September's Synod shows that it is much, much worse. In Sydney Anglicanism, from a high in 2015, attendance was down in 2019 by 7.5% and down in 2022 by another 10%. In total, that's an 18.5% drop since 2015. And even allowing for a COVID factor and even assuming some kind of bounce back, well, we have problems. Those are figures that shouldn't be swept under the carpet, but should be talked about. And we noted even more worrying is the long-term trend in the decline in newcomers. Andrew Hurd, the senior pastor of EV Church on the Central Coast, the leader of Reach Australia and the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, in a much-discussed episode of The Pastor's Heart late last year, he challenged evangelical Anglican leaders in Sydney that we can't just put it down to hard soil, but that there was a problem of head, heart and hand, a heart problem and a skill deficit. We have Andrew coming back on The Pastor's Heart this month to talk about his about-to-be-released book, Growth and Change. Today, we are joined by Sydney Anglican minister David Rietveld. David pastors Dapto Anglican Church to the south of Sydney, and he has also served as a senior minister in Tasmania and Melbourne. He has written this book, Being Christian After Christendom, which Mikey Lynch says is one of the best things available on ministry in the post-Christendom Western cultural context. David, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, David.
I'm going to ask for your comments on Andrew Hurd's remarks shortly, but you've thought long and hard on this. What is your analysis of the problem?
Yeah, look, I think we could say the problem is outside of Sydney even more challenging. Mm-hmm. So I also work for City to City. We're doing some work in New Zealand. I've been writing reports on New Zealand churches. The church decline in New Zealand between 2001 and 2017 across the whole country, all denominations, attendance decline is 37%. That's pre-COVID, and population growth in that window was 25%. So you're looking at something close to a 50% real decline in attendance in New Zealand churches. So they're doing it more difficult than us. There are other denominations that are doing it more difficult than us. When I was in Tasmania, between 1991 and 2001, attendance decline drop was 41%. Times are tough for Christians in the West.
And it's not just liberals, it's evangelicals as well. I mean, we used to look around and see the liberals falling off the cliff and think, well, that's because they've got a false gospel. But it's evangelicals as well.
That's true. I think it's across the board. There have been certain denominations or churches or tribes that have done better in certain seasons. Evangelicals have done better than most of recent. But if you think about, say, the 80s and the 90s, the Pentecostals were growing faster than what the evangelicals were.
And I mean, I have no data for this, but my hunch was the evangelicals were getting through COVID better than the Pentecostals. I don't know if that's... I mean, you're
absolutely.
The ones.
That's my understanding as well. And I think part of the reason is that if at the center of your weekend gathering is teaching, that transfers better to the internet than does an
worship
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's, they haven't bounced back as well, partially for those reasons.
Mm. So precipitous decline in New Zealand.
Yeah. And it's, everywhere in the West. So there are between 2000 and 2020, if we take a kind of a global perspective, there were 17 countries where church attendance declined by more than 5%. And that's in actual terms. So even if a country was growing, church attendance still declined. 16 of the 17 were Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what that tells us is it's not just that we in Sydney are making some mistakes. I'm not saying we aren't making mistakes, but I think there's some sort of a movement in the West that inoculates people against Christianity. That means that somehow there's a backsliding or a mass conversion towards expressive individualism or whatever it is. There's something going on that's bigger than just my local church.
Okay, so we do a SWOT analysis. I'm just comparing your response to Andrew Heard's response a couple of weeks ago. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. He pointed us to our weaknesses of head, heart, and hand, and said we can't just blame the soil. You're giving more weight to the soil problem.
Yeah, I think I would want to say both and, right? Mm-hmm. I think there is an anxiousness and perhaps a lethargy or a confusion amongst some in churches. It's kind of like things aren't going well. We're not quite sure what to do. And we get that conversations with our not yet Christian friends are more difficult, more awkward, they're socially inappropriate. And I think Andrew was quite rightfully challenging some of that. But I also want to say it's not just that we're more tentative than what we used to be. There's some bigger social changes there's different ways of thinking about what's kind of happening here, right? Mm-hmm. So some people want to focus on individuals and their willingness to share their faith and confidence in the gospel. Some people want to say, let's have a conversation about, say, the context. The mm-hmm. context has changed, and it's the way that we share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And culture has kind of moved. And so the crisis is not so much a decline in attendance, but it's a decline in the traction of our message. We've got to reframe our conversation so it fits with the yearnings of the current culture. Mm-hmm. And then you might say there's a third group, perhaps, and they want to take a longer term view and a bigger picture view. And they want to sort of say, you know what, church attendance has gone up and down and the tide will turn again. Briley's got a book out, The Surprising Resurgence in Belief in God.
Mm.
And his view is
very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. His view is that actually the tide is turning.
Mm.
And there's a group of people like Ayan Arsi Ali, I think I've got mm-hmm. her name right. Who else? Douglas Murray.
And he's saying that the new atheists of 20 years ago are now sounding shrill.
Yes, their message has kind of imploded, and in its place are thought leaders Jordan Peterson, Tom Holland, who are actually saying what was great about the West turned out actually to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads Richard Briley to the notion that somehow the tide is coming back and we're going to see a growth in the church again. So let's have a long-term view here, not get too anxious about some short-term decline. Church has always gone up and down.
Now, you had three people or three streams of thought. That was the third one. Let's go back to the second one.
Yeah. So I think the second one, and if we wanted to put a name to this, we might put Andrew Root.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a book out called Churches and the Crisis of Decline.
And that was quite interesting, building on Taylor.
He builds on Taylor and Karl Barth. And what he is in essence saying is that one of the problems of the Western church is that we have a message that fits the culture. And in the process, Christians have kind of fallen for a disenchanted message. So we almost assume that God is not kind of present in his world. And we focus largely on human agency in bringing the kingdom. And that message doesn't quite cut it, whereas for Root, God is present in his world, and we want to help people discern when God kind of shows up and puts his finger on something in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now, whether or not you agree with his particular approach, what he's saying is that the way that we evangelized in the 20th century or in Christendom is not quite fitting the yearnings of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to change strategies, tactics, if you like, but not our overall goal. Mm. Yeah. So I think that's kind of the second approach. Let's do contextualization better. Keller would be another name who is big on this.
Yeah. First group.
First group says we've lost some of our confidence in the gospel. They're very concerned about kind of the human agency and the fact that we need to be bold. We need to encourage our people to step out, to continue to have conversations. God's word doesn't return to him empty. Let's continue to proclaim the gospel. And if we do that, in and out of season, the kingdom grows.
Mm. Now, as we looked at those three groups, they're all responding to the different soil situation that you're describing, the different external threat or external challenge. Now let's go to our strengths and weaknesses. I was chatting with your local bishop, Peter Hayward, and he said he thought we had some particular strengths in Sydney that had inoculated us from the Western overall issues. We'd run the multicultural ministry earlier, strengths in university ministry, and discipleship, that being such a key priority. Do you agree with him? Do you want to add anything there?
I would agree with all of that, and I'd want to add, you could add several more, but the other key one I think I'd want to add is that the predominant appeal of post-Christendom is that you're an individual and you do you, and if you chase your passions, then you'll experience life to the full. Evangelical Christians are somewhat inoculated against that message because we've taught our people that actually Jesus understands you better than you understand yourself. And the Christian life is found by losing it, following Jesus, taking up your cross. And we've also been wary of the prosperity gospel. Mm. So I think we've taught against the shallowness of the current worldview in the way that we've expressed the gospel, and that also has inoculated our people.
Mm. What are our weaknesses? I mean, Andrew Heard said head, heart and hand. What's your analysis?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think I'll use a bit of sociology here. So Max Weber talks about the danger of kind of the institution in general, mm-hmm. right? And the institution can kind of get stuck in a routine. So it has a moment, it responds to something that's happening, and then it kind of gets a bit institutionalized, right? And I think that's a dilemma for Anglicanism and for all mainstream denominations, mm-hmm. that we get into a rhythm and a routine
of maintaining our system.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that's not all bad. There's lots of good things that established denominations do. But we can kind of lose our edge a bit. We can lose the priority of mission, and we can miss the shifting of culture where we might need to adjust what we're doing so that it fits the people we're trying to reach. So I think that happens in mainstream denominations, and we need another, often a charismatic person to come in and to shake up the moment again. We might call that a prophetic voice. Mm-hmm. And I think, perhaps Andrew Hurst is trying to do that.
Well, he has got people talking in a quite significant way, yeah.
Mm. And it's a conversation we need to have. I'm not of the view that business as usual is the answer.
And I'm agreeing with you there, and I'm worried that I feel like too many people around me say business as usual is the way to go.
Yeah, but it's also a little bit like the Republican debate, right? In the sense that just because there's a bunch of people who don't want to necessarily have a king anymore doesn't necessarily mean we can agree on the model of republic that we want to have, right?
Okay.
So is the church in decline? Yes. Does everybody want to stop decline? Yes. What's the best response for how it is that we kind of reinvent ourselves or revitalize the church? Now we start to have some differences of opinion and debate.
I don't think we've quite nailed what the problem is yet before we start to talk about what your suggestions for what to do are. I mean, Andrew said head, heart and hand. What are you saying? I want to push you a bit further on this.
Sure. Okay. So I think what I'm saying is that we have a cultural expression of church and of mission that we're kind of continuing to practice that doesn't quite fit like what it used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're not equipping our people to have conversations in their marketplace, in their morning tea rooms at work, mm-hmm. or in their tutorials at university. We're not giving them ins into gospel conversations in ways that fit the yearnings of the current culture, right? So we predominantly wanted to talk about, say, sin as a way into a gospel conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that just kind of shuts down people. Their ears kind of block and their eyes glaze over. Our culture predominantly thinks, I'm here to thrive. How do you have a gospel conversation through the window of you think you're here to thrive?
Mm.
I think that's a new way of trying to coach our people how to have gospel conversations.
Okay, I'm in the affluent inner west of Sydney where everyone is here to thrive. Help me.
Yeah, actually, and it's kind of tricky because in some sense I do want to say thriving is a byproduct, actually, of not chasing your dreams but becoming more like Jesus and living for others. Right, so it's a very difficult window to enter into a conversation with. I try and do it something like this. Thriving is an agricultural metaphor, right? And so plants thrive, but plants also die in nature. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you put a cactus with too much water, or if you put a pig face in the shade. So as well as the notion that a plant can somehow tap into certain resources and grow, behind that sits a gardener who understands the plant better than it understands itself and can place it in the right environment so it's more likely to thrive. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a kind of a window into a conversation about, okay, so you're there to thrive, but if everybody's there to thrive and we're all competing, actually some people kind of miss out,
mm-hmm.
you know? So how do we think about the bigger system, not just you as an individual? How do we think about, is there some sort of a gardener who tenders all of us so we can all thrive? And now we start to enter into windows through people like Jordan Peterson, mm-hmm. and the sort of conversations that they're having. They're saying, well, actually, the Christian worldview gives everyone the best chance of thriving.
Mm. Now, I want to put the question of what to do, in your view, to you at several levels. I want to put it to you as a parish level or a church level. I want to put you in the local district area, what a collective of local churches could do, and then what a denomination or... Now, but first, I want to actually just check that you agree. I mean, Andrew said of the Sydney Anglican Church, we have some common pattern, and so therefore we have a system issue. It's not just a problem at my church. It's a problem. And it's not just a problem with the cultural out there causing problem. There's actually a systemic problem. Do you think that's right?
I want to agree that I think there is a tendency across the system. And I want to say yes and. Right. And I think Karl Barth gives us a cue when he talks about dialectics. Andrew Watkins gives us a cue. Chris Watkins in his book. And so I want to say the system is also doing some helpful things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think, for instance, denominations do things like nursing homes, schools, welfare agencies, theological colleges, counseling. There's a whole lot of stuff that's very helpful for ministry that is part of a system, and there's a sense in which what Briley is arguing is if we just keep the church healthy, the tide will eventually turn,
mm-hmm.
right? So, yes, I want to say that, but at the same time, I also want to say, let me take you to a different author. Finke and Stark review church growth in the 17, 18, 19, and 2000s in America. Right. And what they say is that churches are always rising and falling. And there's a sense in which some churches die, but the very place where one church dies or is dying, they actually throw out a bunch of young zealots mm-hmm. who go and plant other churches.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I want to say that's a kind of a natural thing. We don't want to be too polemical about that. And that's kind of happening at the moment. And it ought to be happening. And it's a good thing that it's happening. And in some ways, we ought to facilitate it. So if the mainstream church throws some people out and they get passionate about church planting and start an independent movement, that's been happening for centuries.
Yeah.
And it's good. Let's actually get behind that.
The problem, though, is if more churches close than open.
Absolutely, that's a problem. So thinking,
as long as we're growing up, that's good. But at the moment, we're going down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So here's an analogy, right? If Pizza Hut closes down and Domino's opens up and Crust Pizza opens up, that's fine.
Yeah, as a consumer, I don't mind.
As a consumer.
But when there's no Domino's, no Pizza Hut and no Crust in my suburb, I'm in trouble.
That's right. Now, if you're the established pizza business or the established church and your local church is closing, it feels bad, but maybe for the overall kingdom, it's okay, right? We've had, up until recently, the church more or less kind of going up and down, but being pretty stable. But now we're going down and, yeah, there's two or three pizza shops closing down and only one opening up in its place, right? And that's partially what's got us anxious.
Mm.
And now, is that because of a technique problem or is it a macro social thing that's kind of happening in the West?
Well, you're saying both, aren't you?
Yes, I'm saying both.
And to keep drilling down on the technique problem.
Yeah.
The skill problem, the head problem.
Yeah, sure. Well, I want to push back on that if I might,
cool.
Right? So I was in a church in Victoria, a Baptist church. We had a sister church in Africa that planted 10 churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go over there and visit them. Before that, I was in an Anglican church in Tasmania. We helped plant two sister churches in Cambodia and two schools. Amazing conversions happening. I went to both of those continents and got to train some pastors and do some ministry and baptize hundreds of people. And you know what? They're making lots of mistakes. The church is growing unbelievably, but it's not necessarily because they're doing everything right, and we're not necessarily shrinking because we're getting everything wrong. So are we anxious? Are we overly cautious? Yes. Do we need to reframe and retrain our people so that they have ways of having conversations that are socially acceptable and fit the yearnings of our culture? But like Paul, eventually we need to get to the place where we say, hey, Jesus is Lord, and people are going to recoil in that. Yes, we need to do all of that. But it's both and, right? If we do that, it's not necessarily going to turn the church around so we're growing again. That's kind of in the hands of God.
You would say statistically what's happening in New Zealand is going to happen here, and yet we want to do things to ameliorate that.
We do, and we ought to, and the extent to which they will be effective is only somewhat in our capacity.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, actually, it's in the hands of God and how effective it is. But we need to, what's the quote? You know, we need to work like it's in our hands and pray like it's all in God's hands.
Mm. Okay, so if we're going to work like it's in our hands and pray like it's in God's hands, what do I do as a local minister? I mean, I'm the regional mission area leader for the Inner West. I'm feeling like I need to get the other ministers together to say something and to hear together what we think. What's your advice? What would you coach me to be saying in that gathering? And then what's your suggestion for the citywide leaders?
Yeah, I think we're at a fascinating moment in history where church is declining. Everybody's feeling it. We had a response in the Diocese of Sydney under Philip and Peter, church planting, and that had a certain amount of effectiveness. We're now in a place where a lot of the creative thinking is actually happening outside of the mainstream denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And so organizations like Reach, like City to City, like Partners in Ministry, that's where people tend to be going and kind of saying, can you help us think a bit differently about this? And I would say, I think that's kind of okay. I'm not terribly worried by that. Another analogy, I don't think any of the major brewing companies do their own research. Right? They just let all these little microbreweries start up, and then when there's one really effective, they take it over.
Right, okay.
And I think the mainstream church can watch and support and be in partnership with what's happening in the independent church planting, and there's evangelistic fervor, there's youth and vibrancy more in those churches. And there always has been. It's not a new phenomena, and there probably always will be. They're part of the ecosystem. We need to be part of the ecosystem. We need to be learning from them. So it's a kind of a, they do that. Then we've got to work out, how do we revitalize existing churches?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So some are plateauing or in decline. Some are actually going to die. And again, I'm not worried by that. So long as we honor the saints who are there and we harness the personal human resources and the material resources and redeploy them for the kingdom somewhere else. So we might repot or whatever it is. And we need to be intentional about that too.
For every domino that closes, we open a crust in a pizza party.
Yeah, yeah. So perhaps if I can talk about Sydney, we have an evangelism and new churches department. That's great. Do we have a department for churches that are coming to the end of their season and how it is that we kind of redeploy their resources
mm-hmm.
and their people? Like maybe we could have one of those departments.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's some suggestions.
And city, I mean, what's the citywide advice?
I think the, so I want to say there's four suggestions, right? So we need to keep doing church plants. We need to work out churches that are plateauing or in initial decline, and I hear that that's 75% of the diocese, right? We need to work out how to revitalize those churches, and I think that's where I'm suggesting you talk to organizations like Reach or City to City. The diocese could explore that, but for whatever reasons, it seems to be happening outside of the system at the moment. The third thing I'm saying is we've got to work out how to take churches that are in decline, late decline and perhaps the death stages, and say we've got to harness the human and the resources there and redeploy them. And then the fourth option is we've got to help our people evangelize in ways that fit our culture. So just like you wrote tools for the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
who's writing the tools for the 21st century?
Mm.
Right? And how are we using those to equip our people to have conversations that scratch where people are itching?
Mm.
And I'm not sure I'm seeing that just yet.
Mm. Yeah, I think Briley's work is, I mean, there's some good thinking going on with Brian Rosner and Truman and yourself. And then I think Briley is starting to, I'm impressed with what he's saying. And then, but I think you're right, the actual popularization of it in the language of the now hasn't yet happened.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to write a second book in this space. It's actually very hard to write, I've got to say. And maybe we need to be a bit patient,
yeah.
Right? The movements of history take time.
Yeah.
And they're not, there's a lot of variance. And you see, like, we've got the right and the left in our world at the moment.
Mm.
You know, it's not a monochrome response, social movements.
Mm.
And they're not linear. Yeah. COVID has a way of kind of like throwing in left field stuff.
Mm. David, thanks so much for coming in. David Rietveld has been my guest and kicking along the discussion for us. If you head over to the Pastor's Heart Facebook group or on our YouTube channel, we will continue the discussion and look forward to your thoughts and engagement on this important discussion. You've been watching, listening to The Pastor's Heart. My name's Dominic Steele, and we'll see you next Tuesday afternoon. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.